Welcome to the Learning Love and Wisdom podcast. I just finished my very first breathwork session guided by the lovely Phoebe Taylor. And I'm just going to extract some wisdom out of her beautiful mind for a moment and have a chat. Yeah, so
yeah.
Welcome to the show, Phoebe.
Thank you so much for having me again, because we have a podcast we did a long time ago.
A few years ago.
Very different people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for having me in this new chapter.
Of course. Mm. Thank you for having me. Guys, Phoebe's home is like, needs to be in like Vogue or something. Oh. It's so beautiful, so welcoming. Mm. The bed is like super comfy.
Yeah.
Is that an expensive mattress?
Oh no, especially from up here. But you know, for like most breath workers, we're taught to breathe people on a mat. But I love comfort. I'm a real like sensory person. And I love the, you know, yeah, jumping into a nice, comfortable, warm, inviting bed to breathe in. So it's not so, I don't know, scary. And yeah, we're going to go be in the feeling.
Yeah.
Mm.
So if anyone has been around long enough, the veteran listeners for the first podcast, I'm sure there's a few. You used to be like heavily into bodybuilding and that sort of side of fitness. Can you talk a bit about that journey of what it was like in the fitness industry to how you work now and your practice now?
Oh my goodness, it's so different. So yeah, I was, I guess it was about a decade or so that I was in the health and fitness industry. And I love my time there, to be honest. I had a blast. I had so much fun. I loved working with my clients. I was so passionate about helping them with their training and their nutrition. But I feel for me, like I was quite a shallow individual then, because, you know, I hadn't really, really, really gotten to the core of who I am. And so, you know, I was working in that realm where I was focusing on their body image and their physical body. But of course they were coming to me because often there was a lot of the core of that was that it didn't feel good enough as they were in their physical body, like something had to change. And obviously I was working with women with their strength, which is awesome, but a lot of it was, you know, the fat loss, and you know, it just kind of gets a bit boring after a while. And it just, you know, like, not boring, but it's just there's a core there that I, you know, for myself even had to meet, because I was in bodybuilding. Like, I think I'm gonna be a bit general here, but I feel, you know, a lot of the bodybuilders, they come from that core wound of I've got to be leaner, skinnier, fitter, stronger, better. And that was certainly the case for me. But you know, my body was my whole identity. Like, it was all that I was. And so on my journey now, it's of course just coming back to the truth that I'm not my body, I'm not my physical body. This is my physical vessel I get to be in this incarnation, and there's so much more of me. And so now the way that I work with clients is at a far deeper level, that to me is way more important and so much more beautiful and loving and truthful and impactful, and ripples out to their family and their friends, because they're showing up in a completely different energy that changes the world. You know, it really does. And I know that if we were to look back on our old podcast, as cringy as that would fucking be, you know, our energy would be totally different because we've grown so much.
Yeah.
Like, it would be so beautiful to see the contrast. It just shows how much we have grown into our true selves. Yeah.
Mm. Embrace the cringe.
Embrace the cringe. Yeah, it's when you know you've grown.
Yeah. Mm. Why is breathwork important?
Well,
why does that go so deep?
All we have is our breath, right? Like, we are alive, we breathe. It's we breathe, right? So, but by using these different breathing styles and techniques, we can access a different state of consciousness, or we can directly impact our nervous system and move us into a parasympathetic or a sympathetic state. So like for you, when you do Wim Hof, before you do whatever it is that you do in your athletic space, it's perfect, because it's going to drive that performance. It's going to give you that foundation of like that oomph, right? I'm sure you experienced that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wakes me right up.
Yeah. Perfect. Like, perfect before you jump into the ice.
Yeah.
But in my space here, it's about usually being in the opposite, so more of a parasympathetic state, because we want to be restful and relaxed and open to the feeling. And so there's a couple of different breathwork techniques that I work with. I'm a trained rebirther, which is the conscious connected breath, which is the circular breathing into the heart space, through the mouth, out of the mouth, no rest at the top or the bottom. And so by breathing in this way continuously for a certain period of time, it's going to lead you into an altered state of consciousness, where often there is some physical sensation in the body, and then we can explore that. As a guide, I'm there to support and guide the person into a process. And the process could look like them experiencing tightness or pain, and we have a conversation about that, or they having an internal conversation around what that could mean, because it's usually a thread which leads onto something like a memory or a feeling or something that's happened in their life where they have not processed that. And so breath work is a really beautiful tool to access these feelings that are suppressed and stuck in our tissue, in our body, that are so looking to be heard and experienced and felt and released and not made wrong, but to be witnessed. And so we, you know, as a normal person in this day and age, you want to fix everything, want to fix things, but we can't fix these parts of us, because there's nothing to fix. They're just like little wounded versions of ourselves that are so looking to have our attention. And so the breath gives us that moment to just be totally with the younger parts of us that are not okay. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, you wouldn't look at a baby and be like, it needs to fix its crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some parents do that. Like, fix the baby. Like, bro, you got a baby. What do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the repatterning that. And I think that's quite big with today as well, with the women that I work with in particular, who, like, from the fitness industry, I work with a lot of, you know, beautiful ladies from that space who are now really desiring softening and really desiring to move into their feminine, but don't know how.
Yeah.
Because they are so hyper in this, like, I've got to succeed, I've got to hustle, I've got to grind, I've got to be lean, I've got to show people that I'm good and doing good, like, well, and I can't be vulnerable, and, you know, getting softness with the feminine, with our body as well. It's just like, that's, you know, scary, but it's also embracing the flow of her and the truth of the feminine essence. But there's a lot of, it's a big fall, you know, so holding women in that space is something that I like doing, because it is a journey through the death of the identity. Breathwork can really support that. That transition into back into wholeness and truth again. I know where I was kind of on a tangent there, but yeah, we do that here.
The flow of her. You were describing that before we got into it. To that just before, and my approach to dealing with emotions and growing and learning about myself and reflecting sort of thing is very masculine.
Yeah.
And you describe this not setting intentions, not having some sort of desire or outcome that you want to achieve, but just feeling it and feeling the flow of her. So what is that about?
Amazing. So spent most of last year in the tantric space and working with understanding masculine and feminine energy and the polarity and feeling the differences and how beautiful they both are. I guess for me, as a woman who has grown up in a very like a hyper masculine energy, so I could achieve a lot, I could do a lot, I had a lot of energy there to put towards structure and getting shit done, but that left no room for flow and the feminine. Like, I didn't know what fun really was. Like, friendship for me wasn't important. It was just like, I had goals and I wanted to achieve them, and that's all I did. I had a structure, and that felt really good for me, because I didn't really know what the whole other part was of the softness and intuition. And so when I say of her, it's allowing the voice of the flow. And so when we breathe, the way we breathe is surrendering and allowing whatever is present. And that can be really hard for the hyper-masculine mind. Even for me, when I first started, I hated breath work to begin with. About 8 years ago, I started breath work. Pumpkin's licking. My dog Pumpkin is licking with it. Yeah, I had a breath because, you know, I was breathing and I had to feel this stuff. And I was like, I don't want to breathe. I want to get out of this. But I knew intuitively that there was something breathwork for me. So I stopped it and I came back a few times, but really fully embraced it like a couple of years ago, which was just because I was ready to feel. And the thing is, not everyone is ready, and that's okay. But I know from personal experience, if we come into this kind of therapeutic breathing style, there's nothing to figure out. Like, there's no black and white, this means that, it just is. And so, yeah, we can't really make meaning of things in this space. Mm. It's just it's an energy, it's an emotion. And so it's beautiful because it takes the weakness, in, you know, quotation marks, it takes the shame out of emotion, because it's just energy and it just wants to move. So if we allow our feminine to move us, like, she'll show us what needs to happen, where we go next. If we move into the grief, if we move into the rage, if we move into the frustration, if we move into joy and bliss and pleasure, like, it's all there for us, but she knows. And so, yeah, like, working in this way is gorgeous because it just takes the pressure off of an outcome. Mm.
And how do you combine that, her, you know, following her, feeling the flow of her, with sort of a goal that you know is true to you and your true identity, mm-hmm. wants to achieve, you know, whatever it is, like running?
Yeah, good question. Well, I feel like we can use both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an energy, so like, I feel like there's some structure there. So your inner masculine's like, I've got this goal, I want to do this, this feels good. But of course, like, even as a man, you know, you have your inner feminine, mm. who is there, who, I'm not too sure if you've explored her or not, but she may be, she's a part of you that may be wanting to be held more, which is like, I want to be flowy, I want to be intuitive, I don't want to have plans some days. And I know for me that was very hard in my world, but like, back in the day, but I only knew it was a problem when addictions, coping mechanisms, numbing, distracting would come through. So like, when there was like an imbalance of my energy, I would then move into collapse, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't honoring my inner feminine, I didn't even know how to access her. So I guess now I know that if I'm scrolling a lot, or if I'm like wanting to move back into patterns which don't serve me, I know something's for me is out of balance, and I'm probably either not giving enough attention to my inner feminine, I'm not giving her enough play, friendship time, sleep, restoration, breath work, or maybe I'm not in my inner feminine, sorry, inner masculine enough. Maybe I don't have enough drive. Like, where's my structure? What am I achieving? Am I actually even moving the needle with my goals? Like, because I feel like there has to be a balance with those.
Yeah.
So my checkpoint for that, and what I teach my clients, is like, we work through their coping strategies, because I think that they're really beautiful messages that something's like not totally in alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I feel like there's a few aspects. There's the, am I in alignment? There's the, who am I? And then, what am I doing? And is what I'm doing aligned with, you know, my true identity?
Yeah.
How do you pick that apart with a client that's just come to you and is like, I don't know who I am.
Mm.
I'm not in alignment. I'm having all of these horrible coping mechanisms. I'm eating too much. I'm stressing out. I'm working too hard. I'm, you know. All those things. Where do you start with that? What's the most valuable person for that person to do?
Well, when you say my true identity, what do you mean by that? Because, I mean, what is that for you?
For me,
yeah,
it's like, a philosopher and world traveler. A polymath and philosopher, travels the world teaching and speaking.
Yeah, but what if, like, in time that was to change? Like, what if
It would change.
Okay. So
I'd say true identity to you is your highest value and what you feel like is your purpose in life.
Yeah, okay. So, but if someone comes to me, they might not know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 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 they haven't actually gotten to the core of like their truth and what they love, and they haven't done their values.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like super fresh to this work and maybe haven't moved into their mindset work and all the beautiful parts of our brain. I mean, for me, I'm a body person. I like feeling. People come to me because they I want them to feel, they want to feel. For me, I've done a lot of mindset work over the years, a lot of NLP, hypno, I did all my certifications with that, I did my fucking life coaching, and that was all cool, but to me, it wasn't helpful, because yeah. I needed to feel. For me, you can't mindset hack your nervous system. Like, you can't mindset hack, like, you know, feelings, physical sensations of anxiety, collapse in the nervous system. Like, when you move into freeze, that was a really common nervous system response that I would get when I was anxious. I would freeze. I couldn't communicate. It happened all the time. And so, like, I tried to, like, NLP my brain and hypno that shit out. And I felt like, you know, I look at that now and I feel like that was just sort of trying to manipulate myself to change. So where I'm at now in my world and my beliefs is I feel I am moving into an acceptance of feeling. So the more I accept how I feel and I move into my internal world and I'm with the sensations of the constriction, the tightness and the pain, and I allow like the freedom and the space to be in there that tells a story. And usually the story goes something like, I don't feel good enough. I don't believe in myself. I have this memory of my mum doing this and my dad saying that and kids at school, whatever. So it's like there are these threads there that I can unpack and then I can go inside and I can hold these parts of me that are really wanting my attention. And that's what how I work with my clients. So it's a somatic experience. I'm not interested in their mind at all, really, in this room. Their mind tells stories. Their mind says things they think they want to hear. Their mind comes from this, I want this. But the body is like, I need this. So when people come to me, I'm just wanting them to be in their feeling and to learn safety in that. And I believe over time, while working with the nervous system and certain exercises that we do over time and learning pendulation, and titration in these sensations, they can then start to grow their capacity and their window of tolerance to feeling, which creates more stability and safety in being in the body.
So the breath kind of overcomes the mind, because the mind wants to think and get in the way. But if you, like you were saying when I was breathing, just sort of, what did you say? Thank you, I hear you, and just keep breathing. What was the thing? Yeah. If you're breathing and you're focusing on something,
yeah,
and then that voice comes in your head, what was the...
Yeah, so I guess I like to say, when I'm first starting to work with someone and they've never breathed before, it's very common that their mind is going to start to talk to them and say things like, I'm bored, I don't want to do this. This doesn't work for me.
How long have I been here?
How long? Yeah, Phoebe's annoying. Like, this music sucks. I'm hungry. Like, I want to go on Instagram. Like, all these things are going to come up because they're trying to get in the way. And they're trying to distract us from being with the feeling. And so I say to them as a reminder, just to say, thank you, I hear you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back to the breath now. And thank you, I hear you. I'm going to come back to that. I understand. I'm going to come back. Just like this impatient child is nagging at your sleeve. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm bored. I hear you. And I'm going to come back to you. But for now, we've got this time. I'm going to be with my feeling. I'm going to be with my body. I understand it's scary. So keep breathing. And, breath work's amazing because it gives your brain something to focus on. Like, you're not totally in this, like, blissed out state where you've got to think of nothing. It's not like a meditation. It is in a way, but it is like, I love it because it gives it gives you something to do while you soften and while you relax. And after a while, like I was saying to you before, it's can feel like breath work in the beginning because you're having to work for your breath and you're thinking about the tempo and the pace and I'm guiding you through that process. But then after a while, you just drop and you surrender into this feeling of, oh, I get it now. You know, I'm sure you've reached that point too where it's like, it feels like you're being breathed. Did you feel that sensation?
Yeah,
you did. When you start breathing, because you had a lot of breath holds. Mitch had a lot of breath
holds. I was shaking. I didn't even realize I was shaking everywhere.
Yeah. And so, like, in the future, if you were to breathe again, it might be different. But if you were to breathe again, if you wanted a different experience, it would mean that I would probably sit you up sometimes and I would make you just breathe.
Okay.
Because what can happen is breathing holds, unconscious breathing holds, is an unconscious distraction. It's like, all right, I'm feeling enough.
I'm going to stop this for a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to go into, like, like the nothingness, which is also perfect. Yep. That's beautiful too. It feels nice.
Why do you think, and we'll finish with this,
yeah,
why is it so scary for us to feel our feelings?
Yeah, good question. Because we aren't taught how to be with feeling as a younger child often enough. I think a lot of parents these days are teaching children from an early age that it's okay to have emotion, it's okay to feel and express their feelings, as long as it's not harming anyone or directed at anyone. But they, you know, I think I've got a lot of beautiful conscious friends who are bringing children into the world and allowing them to be in their full expression. But you and I, and also our parents, like, we weren't taught that stuff. Like, I'm sure, like, I know, yeah, I wasn't. You know, no, we were told probably
the opposite.
Yeah.
Which taught me in a way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It all has a beautiful learning and we will come around in the end. But it's like, you know, if we were given the tools as an early person to be like, I understand you're upset. I hear you that you're angry. It's fair enough that you're really upset at this and that and you don't get your own way. And this is how we process the energy and move it through your body. And then, like, it moves like a wave, you know, it gradually moves and it changes. And, you know, and so, what was the question you asked me? I went on some mad tangent then.
Why is it so scary for us to feel our feelings?
Because it's such a big energy. When you think of like excitement, how good that feels in the body, but it's a big energy.
Yeah.
Or even happiness, when you're in so much joy, it's like a big energy. Like sadness and grief and anger is a big energy. We've labeled it as bad. We've labeled it as terrible. And like it's something that I feel we haven't had the tools or capacity to be with. And so with my teaching now, with my tantric training, with how I'm working with clients, I'm giving them this permission to be in the anger and the rage and to be in the unjust and the big feelings of sadness, because giving them that space makes it okay. And it's permission to be in the feeling. And when you start being in the feeling more often, you actually realize it's not as scary, and it can actually then turn to pleasure. It can actually become a pleasurable experience to be in grief. And you notice, like I said before about the wave, these big feelings, they come and they go, and then you're back into this bliss point, you know? And so it's like that, and that's process work, which is, for me, very important, because going into our life, things are going to happen. We're going to have experienced death. We're going to experience loss and grief and humanness, you know? And so it's like, how cool is it to know that these teaching experiences that I'm learning continuously and with my clients, it's like, we're equipping ourselves for life, for our emotional body, to support that, so we don't go into completely like this place of overwhelm and don't know how to hold it. So we go into like collapse or breakdown. And it's okay to break down, you know, but it's also knowing that we have the tools to support ourselves going forward outside of those experiences.
We must break down before we can build up, destroy before we can create. Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Where can people find more about you?
I'm at Phoebe Guiding on Instagram. I just have Instagram. That's all I've got. I haven't got a website or anything. Just Instagram is great.
Phoebe Guiding on Instagram. Hit her up and let us know your questions, comments, feedback. If you want to have her back for a bit longer, we're a bit rushed today, but we made it happen. Let us know if you liked it, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.